Come on, Austin Slater, Blake Sable, Luke Jackson. Like, I don't care if they're filing grievances. I should be filing grievances against you as a fed for stealing money out here, and I got to watch it pitch every goddamn day. Who the hell is Luke Jackson and Blake Sable? Right, so some of these guys are just, come on.
No, I agree.
But that's Farhan's groceries.
But that's my problem.
He's picked the groceries.
Exactly.
These guys are not good enough. And you tried to force them onto us. You had Blake Sable, Luke Jackson competing against the Dodgers, Padres, and Diamondbacks. You had him competing against the Braves and the Mets. Luke, we're sitting here talking about Luke Jackson filing a grievance. Ross Stripling.
Luke Jackson's
come on,
terrible.
Man.
He's terrible.
But
Bonte, at the end of the day, all right? At the end of the day, their inability to be self-aware and to diagnose where they are in the standings and who needs to play is ultimately as critically a big miss as the lack of development of the youngsters. And yeah. I'll get it. So you sign Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger?
Got Mitch Haniger, though. Dude, we got that soundbite. Remember that one? Another one bites the dust? We got Mitch Haniger, though.
Mitch Haniger and Conforto to clog up your outfield when you've got 50 outfield prospects? Why? And then I look at the deadline. When they had an opportunity to move Rodon, when you knew you weren't going to get him, you knew you were not going to keep him, you had an opportunity to get something, you got nothing. And then when you signed Blake Sable, you basically essentially gave up a second-round draft pick because that's what you do. And I'm fine with that. Everyone knew you weren't the best rotation in baseball. You went one time around, okay? And instead of getting a hole for one of the prized possessions of the deadline, your last 2 years, this is what you got back. Mark Canha and AJ Pollock at the deadline.
You know what?
Mark Canha and AJ Pollock. Remember the AJ Pollock thing?
Yeah, I do remember that. But Mark Canha's good for the culture.
Zero good home vibes. Runs since getting acquired.
Good vibes.
As soon as he left the Tigers, had like the best record in baseball.
Yeah, I know. Scott Harris, who came from the Giants, is running the Tigers.
You can make an argument. The three best things of the Farhan era were inherited by Bobby Evans, Logan Webb, Elliot Ramos, and Camilo Duvall.
Yeah, that's sad. And Camilo Duvall's, the handling of him has been a little suspect.
Grievance.
Mike and Salidas. Mike and Salidas, what's happening?
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I just, I never saw the guy with any type of branding, any Giants gear. You know, not a hat, not a pin. I thought, it's like a poser, It's never took on that identity of being a Giants fan guy.
No doubt. What else went wrong with Farhan? Like, what really grinded your gears with the way he ran this organization?
Well, let's face it. If you're a true Giant fan, you don't like anything about the Dodgers. So sort of the fact that he came over from the Dodgers could have been like a plant.
Can I ask you a question on that? Because Dusty was a Dodger, and yet Dusty was embraced. Now, I know he was part of the staff prior, but like we always embraced Dusty as a Giant. Is it, I don't know, is it just that they stunk? Like, had they won, would you have been won over?
Yeah, definitely. If he pulled out some wins and gives us some titles, then we're gonna forgive him for that. But, this whole time, we're just sort of, it's stuck in the mud, man.
I'm with you.
We're stuck in the most. So I'm going to go back. Now's the time. Now's the time. And I got a text from Alex Simon yesterday, who's the editor of SF Gate. Basically, he apologized and said, hey, man, you know what? I love you guys. Enjoy the victory lap. I'm Buster getting more involved. And I said, no, do it on Twitter. Now I had a laughing emoji.
I want you to be publicly beheaded.
No, because a lot of people, and look, man, a lot of people like to disrespect on Twitter. And it does bother me when I see things on the internet saying that we're hot take artists and we're throwing 15 first clicks. We need attention. Trust me, I don't need attention from anybody out there on the internet. I have a nearly 4 year old daughter who is papa, 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 papa. I can't even get on a show called a little bit without baby chest. Papa, 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 papa. And then Anna, who, of course,
No,
she is the best. But I'm just saying, basically what I'm saying is, I don't need attention from anybody out there. I get enough attention at home. I got NCAA football. I'm good. So when I see these things on the internet, and I know people driving around saying, what the hell are you talking about, Bonte? Well, we have opinions on the show, and we cook up things, and we just have sports conversations that we'll have in the bar, that we'll have at our luncheons, that we'll have at our barbecues. But for some reason, we get cooked about certain things. So a show happened, and I want to say it was August 17th, maybe? August 17th, anyway.
It's a year ago.
Over a year ago. The day before, I ran into two people. One of them was my boy, Bernie. Been a Wildcat. Went to Reardon High School, by the way. Went to Reardon. Nice. Been a Wildcat. Went to Arizona. Worked at Enterprise with Big Dog City. He's doing well. Was in Boston for a long time. Now he's back in the Bay. And I know Bernie's listening.
Weekday at Bernie's.
Weekday at Bernie's.
Well, weekend, but you know.
August 16th, 2023 was the show.
Okay.
And we had two questions that day. One, should Trey Lance go to the CFL to play? People thought I was nuts. I was like, the guy needs to play. But that was some of my best work.
I'll
because
never forget when you
I like
hit
to snort
me with
right
that,
there.
Shasky, I've got something for you. And I'm like, okay, let's hear it.
And the other thing that I have for you was, why is Buster Posey really moving back from Georgia? Why is he moving back from Georgia? And we came up with a, we thought he was going to be the manager of the Giants. And one of the quotes, and I can't even open up the whole story, but he goes, I think Buster Posey's being groomed to manage this team in the future. And we got lit up. He's a family man. Let the guy enjoy his family. This and that. Well, where are all those people at right now? Should he still be enjoying his family? Or do you want him running a baseball club and make your team better? And we got roasted that. I'll never forget. I go, boy, were we off base with that?
No. There's a too short album after he retired that he titled. He came back and said, yeah. Can't stay away.
Can't stay away.
There are certain people in life, okay? My dad was one of these guys. He was a plumber for a long, long time. He worked as a stationary engineer down at the airport. He retired. And then you know what he did, Bonte? He went back to work after
came
that.
Back.
Because he was addicted to the work, okay? There are certain people yep. in life who are lifers,
yep.
especially when it comes to being a competition-aholic. Mm-hmm. And when I look at John Lynch is a competition-aholic.
He needed a scoreboard. He said he needed a scoreboard.
Absolutely.
The broadcasting booth was fun, but he needed a scoreboard.
You think Buster Posey is more John Lynch or is more like, hey, I'm going to go retire in Georgia and yeah. be on my palatial estate?
Well, we just have friends out there and our kids grew up there. We just thought it was better for us. I never believed a second of that. A second. But I also thought he was going to manage a club. I thought, okay, maybe
no,
he's going to manage.
I did too.
But president of baseball operations, we knew a role was coming. I just thought he was going to be in a clubhouse.
I actually like this role for him for a variety of reasons. When you're the catcher, yep. okay, and you are assessing the other team, you're basically doing the job of a right. GM. You're yep. literally scouting yep. every single guy on the other team, and you're coming up with a strategy as your staff to attack those right. players' strengths and
no
weaknesses.
Doubt. No doubt. But the underlying thing was we had a show, and people were saying, yeah, we like the idea. We love it, blah, 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 blah. And Ben the Wildcat, I give him credit, goes, he, the day before, he goes, Bonte, why do you think Buster's coming back to Georgia? And I hadn't even thought about it.
It's a great call.
I was just like, Ben, you're on to something. I'm bringing this up on the show, so I want to make sure I give him credit.
Great call.
Because he was kind of the mastermind behind it. I go, you know what? I'm taking this to the airways because you're right about something. He's not just coming back here, which is why it ticked me off when they introduced him as the owner and they did it through the Zoom.
I know.
This is Buster Posey. Get his ass out here. But this is where Farhan's operation was small time.
Mm-hmm.
His end of season pressure last year in the dugout. You're not at a dais. We don't have chairs. We're not in the auditorium. Buster Posey gets announced by Greg Johnson, and it's on this crappy-ass Zoom.
I know.
And you need to buy more minutes because you didn't buy enough minutes for the Zoom. It was awful. This is Buster Posey. Hey, Buster, when can you come to the Bay Area? Let's roll out the red carpet, get the private jet, as you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC, San Francisco, and IC Sports Station, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Like, why aren't you bringing Buster Posey out here? But moving back from Georgia, oh, yeah, he just because his kids loved it. Buster could go live anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
You know, everyone's going to point to John Lynch. They're going to point to Bob Myers. I'm going to point to someone who's in the game of baseball. And maybe you're going to think, Joe, Nolan Ryan. No, that's not the guy I'm right. thinking of. It's actually Chris Young. Chris Young retired in 2018, mm-hmm. Basically, and took a job as an MLB guy under Joe Torre. And then a year later, became general manager of the Texas Rangers. And what did the Rangers do? I don't know. Hired Bruce Bochy, won the World Series. Oh, and yeah, and signed a bunch of sweet free agents.
Yeah.
And then drafted and developed a bunch of sweet on-field players.
Got some young, great players. Now, going back to that show.
But Chris Young pitched for a long, long
pitched
time.
Pitched for the Padres. Big 6'10 guy.
Yeah.
He's the deal. He used to be with PV, right? He was
yep.
in PV's rotation.
Yep. Good call.
You and I. Back on August 16th, 2023.
I got to hear
this. I'm not trying to. I just see the caption that says, Buster will get that itch again. Buster will get that itch again.
Are we sure Posey's not getting that itch to be back in the clubhouse? Now, who knows if Buster Posey wants to manage? I don't think he wants to do the day-to-day GM grind.
No.
I don't think that's in his cards.
No.
I think he likes being on the field. I think he misses that.
When you are a catcher, you like controlling every pitch. You feel like you're involved in everything, and you're a part of the decision making. You don't think he wants to be a part of that? Look, B, when you're a like a basketball lifer, a baseball lifer, a football lifer, if you're a carpenter, right? My dad's a plumber. Great example. My dad's a plumber. Okay, he retired, quote unquote.
Right.
What do you think he's still doing?
He's still working.
That's what they do. You think Buster Posey, the age that he retired at, is just going to go off into the sunset and we're never going to hear from him again?
Yep.
No. I highly doubt that.
So we were wrong about him being the GM. I did not think he would be a GM and do the day-to-day. I thought he would be on the field. But I ain't mad at him being the GM. I love the fact that Buster Posey's involved. Because all the guy does is win. And yeah, we need new material because we're recycling new material.
I mean, look.
No, I hear you.
It's a good take. It lives on forever.
Look, will the Giants fans be patient with Buster?
I think with Buster Posey moving back to the Bay Area, this is another step into getting him to manage the Giants. I really do. I think Kepler, Farhad, if you're Greg Johnson, there is no way we could possibly extend these guys.
Is there even a move in the back pocket that would endear themselves to Giants fans quicker than doing what you're saying?
I think you want to get Giants fans excited again. Giants fans will be patient with Buster Posey. We trust Buster Posey. We love Buster Posey.
I mean.
How excited are Giants fans now?
I'm going to start calling you the Vineyard because that aged like fine wine.
Oh, wow. Boy. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We get some things right here and there. We got our Trey Lance takes.
Hey, Willie Mays was a 300 hitter, greatest player of all time.
What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Frontier Ford, Nick and Berkeley, Jose and Oakland.
And then
we'll get to Baldy. How excited are you about Buster Posey? Huh? How excited are you? Does it reek of desperation? Yeah, I don't agree with Dieter Kurtenbach from the Bay Area News Group on that one. I know Hank Schulman doesn't. He has some tweets. Ooh, he was coming down his road hard. Hard. He broke a backboard yesterday. Anyway, we'll get to your calls. Can't wait to hear from Nick in Berkeley. Jose in Oakland saying, he's saying that it took too long with Farhan. I wonder why. Frontier Ford, Spadoni. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. I'm actually excited about the Giants.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldwin with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Giants fans, how happy are you? We got what we wanted. We got what we wanted. Farhan is gone. Now, maybe a year too late, maybe 2 years too late. And I don't wish, you know, it's a tough world. I know a lot of people lose jobs left or right. And, you know, Zach Lowe at ESPN, who was really good, just lost his job. And everybody, I don't love it when people lose jobs. Trust me, I may lose my job one day and people are going to take victory laps and I'm going to feel really bad about it. But when you're in the pro game and when you don't have a personal touch and you ignore the community, and you're not a people person, and people who work in that organization for years say, this guy just doesn't even speak to anybody. He's in his own world. And then you have the corny jokes like you did when you signed Blake Snell. You're in no position to be cracking jokes.
Monte, he's going to be fine. He was making seven figures. He's going to be fine. No one is trying to dance on somebody's employment grave, but the point is...
It was time.
Exactly.
It was time.
Come on, it was exactly... You know how many people ask for my job every day? And I make a fraction of what Farhan's making. I'm sorry, it kind of comes with the territory.
Trust me, I know. People won't be fired every day. I'll never forget the tweets from this guy named Bayani, folks. Everybody out there in Twitter land, this guy Bayani told me in 2017, we're going to throw a party on this app when you get fired next year. Hey, I heard me. I was like, damn, like that? You going to pop bottles? Well, I'm still ticking, buddy. I'm still here. I'm still here. Hopefully he got those bottles on ice. However,
yeah.
When we had played that cut,
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I got to let everybody know, now I'm really going to go to this concert. I'm feeling good. Most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here, and it's Hip Hop Made in the Bay, starring Two Shirt, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, DJ Quick Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast, trust me, especially now because we want to potty. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. We just played a cut going into the break. Giants fans will be patient with Buster. And there's no doubt in my mind, Giants fans will be patient with Buster. But we knew. Once they got rid of Farhan, and they did hire Buster. Now, I thought he was going to be the manager. You thought he was going to be the manager, but whatever. We're all good. Mm-hmm. President of Baseball Operations, you got bone mail. Here's what Ken Rosenthal said yesterday. Was this on Willard or Dibbs? Joey Willard or Dibbs, or just him in general?
The Athletic.
Athletic, okay. Here's what Rosenthal said about Buster Posey being named President of Baseball Operations.
Bob Melvin might be more simpatico with Buster Posey than he was with Farhan Zaidi. Not that they didn't get along, and remember, Bob Melvin and Zaidi knew each other from Oakland. But Buster Posey is more kind of an old school type, I would think. He's not going to be averse to the analytics or anything like that, but he has a certain sensibility that was built with those great Giants teams. And that, to me, would seem to be in line with the way Bob Melvin sees the game as well.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I think that they're going to probably have a good feel for each other. You got to understand, Bob Melvin came in like, what, 03, 04, right? So it was, like, right on the front end of the analytic kind of stuff. But he's more of an old school guy. Yeah. And Buster came in the 2010s, and analytics were already this whole buzzword, analytics, drives me nuts. But, like, it was already being implemented. And so I think that both guys share a very old school feel, don't you?
Mm-hmm,
Buster
absolutely.
And Bob Melvin. And I think that they're going to think very much like, it doesn't mean that he's married to him long term.
Right.
You know, I think the number one thing that I'm thinking about, and I just want to go through it. When you have a run like they had in the 2010s, you're going to have some down years.
No doubt.
No one thinks that the train is just going to go on forever, right? When you're first in the NL West in 2010, second in 2011, all right, you go back to number one again in 2012. I'm just trying to make a point here. 2013, you drop down to third. 2014, second in the NL West. Second in the NL West in 2015, second in the NL West in 2016, you're going to have some down years. So then 17 and 18 is what did in Sabian and Evans. Fifth and fourth. So he inherits a fourth place team. They jump up to third in 2019. In 2020, they're third. 2021, they jump up to first. It was an outlier year. The 107 was unbelievable. But it really, and I know they're going to say, Lamar Wade and Yastrzemski. Dog, Posey had a monster year.
Monster season.
Crawford had a monster year. Belt had a monster year. So that's the prior regimes. You know, you get credit for that as a GM. Right. You inherited that. But when you fall back to third, and then here's the kicker. Fourth in the NL. West in 2023 and fourth in the NL West in 2024. That's where I draw the line.
Yep.
And as a Giants fan, I go, hey, look, I'm self-aware to know, hey, right now the Dodgers are up high.
Yeah.
I'll look up at them. I can accept that.
Can't look up the Padres or Diamondbacks.
The Padres? Okay, maybe.
No,
not the Diamondbacks and the Padres. It can't be both.
No, it can't be.
It can't be both. So I'm looking up and I'm saying, when you fall behind the Dodgers, fine. All right, I get it. It's not our time. It's cyclical. Sports, whatever.
Padres, Diamondbacks, come on. Like that,
both?
Like both? Like that's the problem.
And I think is where we're at today.
And Greg Johnson's looking at those bleachers.
Yes.
And he's looking at those seats.
Yes.
And he's looking at the attendance. And he's saying to myself, and you could say, oh, Giants have more fans and people who go to the game, yada, 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 yada. I'm watching the game. I see a lot of empty seats. See a lot of green seats available for sale. Greg Johnson's saying that, and the bottom line's getting hurt. The bottom line's getting hurt. And you know what? Anna loves to go to Giants baseball games. My fiance. She did not ask me to go to one baseball game this season. Not one. Not one. She just did not care. So the casuals are out. Casuals are out. You and I, how many times have we rejected tickets? Sweet tickets, behind the plate tickets. Like, I've never been privy to that. I was a kid who didn't go to his first baseball game until he was 15 years old. And I was in left field bleachers. And I'm out here saying, yeah, I'm kind of good off of that. That's the problem with Farhan Zaidi and what he did to this organization. And that's why today, like 925 says, today feels like Christmas. Today feels like Christmas.
Fonte,
and NorCal Sports Network has been with you for 2 years to get rid of the computer that is Farhan Zaidi. Giants fans, rejoice.
The day I read the Andrew Baggerly piece saying that Buster Posey grabbed the steering wheel of the organization and got the Chapman deal done, I knew it was a wrap.
Listen,
right then and there. I think it was September 15th.
No doubt.
I was like, it's a wrap. And
no doubt.
I think I speak on behalf of the majority of Giants fans out there. Thank you, Buster Posey.
Thank you, Posey. Let's go to the calls before we get to Baldy here at 7:30. Let's get to Jose in Oakland, and then we'll get to Nick in Berkeley, and then we'll get to Baldy. Today's about you. We're going to talk Niners for a couple minutes, but Giants fans, I want to know how you feeling this morning. Jose in Oakland, what's happening?
What's up, Jose?
Hey, guy. Good morning. Look, we don't know if we're going to get Matt Millen or Jerry West on Buster Posey, but one thing we do know, we're not going to get Farhad Zaidi again, okay? And the guy was consistently bad. The farm system should be better. You can say it's better, but, I mean, even a broken clock, it's right at least once a day, okay? But it should be better. He had opportunities to trade some of the players that he had signed for 1 or 2 years, trade them and get more pieces for the farm system. He never did it. For some reason, he always stuck with them and tried to re-sign them. They were not coming back, okay? It's a big difference between Farhad coming into a meeting, trying to negotiate a deal with you with a nice, shiny, you know, Berkeley grad ring, and having Buster Posey with 3 shiny World Series rings, okay? Mm. One demands respect. The other one is getting respect. He's not demanding it. He's getting respect right away. Like I said, we don't know what we're going to get with Buster Posey, but at least we're getting something different, and we definitely needed that because the team was growing stale. I mean, I love the Giants, and to be honest with you, I didn't watch not even one game this year.
Wow.
Okay, and that was bad.
That's bad.
For my standards, that was bad because I'm a big-time Giants and Niners fan. And even with the 49ers, even when they were really, really bad, at least I would watch 1 or 2 games. But with the Giants, it was just really bad because, like I said, you just didn't even know who was playing.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big part of the problem.
Good call, Jose.
Good call. Let's get to Nick in Berkeley real quick before we get to Baldy. Nick, it's time to cook, Nick. Don't disappoint me.
Hey, man, first of all, cry eagle cry. But I'm glad that Posey's back because I was actually going to call in because remember last year, at the end of last season, they were like, oh, Posey's coming in to be some deuce something or other. And then I was like, where was he all year? Like, he's hiding out. You know what I'm saying? But he came back from Georgia because his family's probably driving him crazy. And everybody got to leave the house to go to work. Otherwise, you will drive your family member crazy. But let me tell you something, man. Thank God Farhan is out, dude. I mean, dude, analytics is I don't even like analytics. I think it's a joke. It's for like, it's just like a con game. It's like, dude, like they're just making up numbers. Like whatever happened to expertise and cats that's been around the game. So we expect that from Posey now. All I want to know is, Posey, do you have the checkbook? Because if you don't have the checkbook, you know what I mean? What are you doing, bro? You're going to be up there asking the owner for money. And if he can sell the team to Joe Lacob as far as I'm concerned, because our owner's stuck, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they did sign. Let me just jump in. They did sign Matt Chapman already.
They did. And you know what? To be fair, they have a $200 million payroll, Nick. They just didn't spend the money wisely.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh, hey, look, this goes back a few years, though, man. This goes back after we won the World Series, and then they were talking about getting rid of Bochy, whatever, but when they were re-signing Big Lefty and all that, man, we paid the wrong person. That they were at crap third baseman Longoria. We were spending a lot of money on bad players, man. Like with the insane contract that they got. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about this, Bonte, a lot, and we're getting a lot of these texts. Today is my 36th birthday. Yeah. This is from the 510. The Giants have already given me the best gift you possibly can in replacing Farhan. Hope in life is an intoxicating drug.
It sure is.
And when you have hope as a fan base, it's one of the great feelings in sports. It just is. Like right now, Commander fans, you know what they have hope in? Their quarterback.
Yep.
They feel like the next 10 to 15 years is going to be so different than the last 10 to 15 years.
They sure do have hope. They're feeling good out there.
And I read you off all of the where the Giants landed in terms of NL West.
Right.
They won the West one time in the 6 years he was here, and they finished third or fourth every other year.
Yep.
The bar is not that high for Buster Posey to climb.
It's not.
It's really not.
Now, I will say this, because this next text 669, Comcast Business Sex Line. So is Melvin his guy? If things remain the same, Melvin will get the heat first and Buster will get to choose his guy. Also, maybe I'm thinking too far ahead, but if things don't work out with Buster, will it change the way he's viewed as a giant? That's an excellent question. Excellent question. Do we view Chris Mullin the same way or any differently after his GM stint with the Golden State Warriors? There was some good. There was some bad. Chris Mullin's an all-time Warrior. And he's as lovable as he's ever been before.
Beloved.
Beloved. Right? So I don't think that changes. Dwight Clark left the Niners, went to Cleveland. It wasn't pretty. How much do we love Dwight Clark?
I mean, he's beloved.
We have Dwight Clark Day.
I mean, he's beloved.
Dwight Clark Day. So I don't think this changes the way we're going to view Buster Posey. We just are happy. I think it's more so we're happy that Farhan is now gone.
I mean, you got to have optimism, and of all the people to trust, and you and I spoke about this forever, the credibility of having Buster involved in things, it's, look, until we see otherwise, how can you not be excited?
How can you not be excited? Real quick, before we get to Baldy, let's get David Fremont on. David Fremont, as we connect with Baldy here. David Fremont, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? It's actually Dave, formerly a Fremont man, had to make a move on out to Oregon, but I'm so glad you guys are on YouTube. I'm so glad you guys are on YouTube so I can listen to you guys out here.
Thank you, bro.
Honestly. Anyways, really, you guys are amazing. I just wanted to make a quick comment about Farhan. I'm actually really, really glad that, you know, he's out, Buster's in. We've kind of seen like a pattern when catchers come in, either as managers or, you know, get in the front office. They just have a really good. What I'm really, really hoping is that he's going to be able to, one, like you guys just mentioned, just because he's Buster Posey, hopefully that will be able to lure some, you know, names and, you know, other people to come in and help the organization get back on track. But I just wanted to make one quick comment about Farhan. And I don't really give him a hard time for him trying to bring in, you know, big name players to the organization. I think he tried that like every year. My biggest problem with him is when we brought him in, I wanted to see the farm system go from one of the worst to one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And here we still are. And that was my biggest issue with him, because totally when he came from the Dodgers, the A's, and that was just it. So I'm glad he's out. I hope Buster is going to, you know, get us back, you know, on track, and hopefully he'll be able to develop. So anyways, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
And take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Have fun up there in Oregon. Thanks for listening all the way up there in Oregon. Real quick, as we try to connect with Baldy, let's get to James in Castro Valley. James in Castro Valley, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, Bontan Chefsky, how y'all doing?
I'm doing great this morning.
Hey, I agree. So I was a lifelong A's fan, and I was at the game on Thursday, and man, if I wasn't heartbroken. But as soon as I found out that Chapman and Olson were out of Oakland, the first thing that I did was go to Lids and put on a Giants hat.
Wow.
And I didn't like anything about it at the time. But then at the same time, I couldn't help but to think, you know, the A's organization, I felt like, let me down as a fan. But the Giants, all of my friends that are Giants fans, they were all enthusiastic about the Giants organization. They would go to the Metallica Day. They would go to all these events and stuff, and it really seemed like the organization cared about the fans. So for me, I'm looking across the bay going, man, seems like a hopeful place to be.
Absolutely. Well, welcome aboard, buddy. Welcome aboard. Welcome back to the Giants at the top of the hour. 888-957-9570. Line them up. Farhan is gone. Give us your thoughts on that. Buster Posey, your new president of baseball operations. And there is new hope in the Bay Area when it comes to the San Francisco Giants. Because just the other day, they had become the most irrelevant team in this market. But let's talk about a team that is relevant right now. And that is the San Francisco 49ers. It is Shark Week, folks. Baldy, coming up.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. Time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger.
That's right. Baldy joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Baldy now indoors after being in that mess at MetLife Stadium watching the Broncos beat the Jets there in a nasty game, but a big win for the Denver Broncos. But we're talking Niners here. And Baldy, the Sharks were eating on Sunday against the Patriots. 6 sacks and all. Brissett got hit over and over and over. But I want to start with the quarterback, because it wasn't the cleanest game for the 49ers. A lot of mistakes, a lot of things to clean up, special teams, defense, all that stuff. But it feels good to know you got a damn good quarterback, and that's Brock Purdy. The guy's just in total control in his third season in the NFL. And again, outside of the one decision where he forced the interception and double covers to Brandon Ayuk, I thought Brock Purdy was Brock Purdy, which is one of the best quarterbacks in this league, Baldy. And good morning to you.
And there's no doubt, Bonte. I mean, you just watch him play, and you know, whether he has to get out of harm's way, has to extend a play. I thought it was a really, not clever, but it was the right game plan by Kyle to get all the guys that missed the week before, whether it was Kittle or Debo, to get them involved. You put Debo at tailback position in the first play, beat the ball in his hands. Ayuk got involved early in the game. Like, I just thought the game plan was smart, got the guys involved right away. And that's Brock Purdy's job. Brock Purdy is like, okay, here's the script. This is what we're practicing. This is what we're walking through on Saturday morning. Now let's go out and execute. And you give that guy a game plan, he's in the ear with Kyle and, you know, with Greasy and the whole group all week long. Like, that guy's going to go out and execute. And I know people still question, I guess, like, just what he is. Right. For whatever reason, that's fine. Like, it's just getting, it's kind of old.
Right.
You know, you just watch that guy go play football. And the Patriots are a sound defensive team. They really are. They've got good players at every position. Keon White's a good young player. Gonzalez, they've got, the safeties are active. I mean, that's a good defense that he carved up.
What do you make of their red zone struggles, whether it be offensive line, play design, you know, quarterback? Why are they struggling in the red zone, I guess, is the question.
It's, you know, I mean, most teams either play one or two defenses in the red zone. They generally are either a quarters team or they're a man team. Probably man if they're blitzing to try to pressure the quarterback, or they're playing quarters. And when you're playing quarters, it's the windows are going to be tight. If you're going to the three-man side, Joe, all right, and they box those three where it's just really cloudy, and then you try to come back to the two-man side, you might not have time, especially if they're blitzing. So I do think sometimes it could be the quarterback decision where to go first with it. I'll never forget this, Joe, and I always remember this. But I remember Kurt Warner telling me one time about red zone offense. And, you know, I mean, this is the greatest show on turf, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He goes, sometimes, Baldy, it's good to have Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin just to throw it up to him, let him go get it. And honestly, like, it shouldn't be just that simple sometimes to have those kind of guys. Sean Payton, you know, had a great tight end for a long time in New Orleans. Basketball player, just threw it up to him, let him go get it. You know, sometimes just having a guy like Juwan Jennings in that part of the field isn't a bad option sometimes.
Well, you saw George Kittle come down with, I thought it was like the best catch, not like play, but catch of his career. It was an incredible play. And I've been screaming for weeks on this, and Shanahan's great, right? But this is one area I think he can get better at. Why don't they use Kittle in the way a Jimmy Graham or a Gronkowski or whatever, where you just ISO that guy on the side in the red zone because he's such a mismatch nightmare? I would love to see it. Is that something you'd like to see from this offense?
You know, it's a great point, Joe, and they never do it. Like last night, you saw DK Metcalf one-on-one away from the three receivers. You watch Houston play Nico Collins as the single receiver. And so whether if it's a tight end or it's Mike Evans in Tampa, I mean, these guys, these red zone threat guys, these guys that eat in the red zone, the way you're describing, Joe, I mean, you know, when I come out there in a couple weeks and we get George Kittle back on, we need to ask him that, Joe.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the reason why he caught that ball the other day is he timed his jump right. Like, he wasn't any higher than anybody else. He just jumped it better than anybody else. And there's two guys right there going up for it, and he just, you know, the timing of him going to get that ball is the reason why he caught it. Now, he came down with it, the whole thing. But still, I'm with you. I mean, you know, he's 6'5". He's, you know, he's a quick leaper. He's an explosive kid. I'm with you. I don't know why you wouldn't try that. And I've never actually seen that
from
the 49ers offense.
We haven't. We were talking about Gronk in the Super Bowl against Bobby Wagner going down there on the fade route and scored a touchdown before halftime or whatnot. And hey, it's just you've been on this too, Baldy. You always I recall a couple years ago they ran this play, I think, for Ross Dwelly. And you made the point, like, why aren't you running that for George Kittle? Like, you see Detroit last night. They're running plays for their playmakers. And yet Shanahan, he's a hell of a guy, but to that point, I say even Juwan Jennings, they have a big body guy, Juwan Jennings, who's 6'5", can go up and get it. Isolate him if you're not going to isolate George Kittle.
You know, the thing is that on that, you know, if you're isolating a player, typically, if you're, let's just say you're at the 5, and you're first and goal at the 5, that if you're going to throw that ball, usually that's a first down play. Now, you also, the best way to score in the red zone, especially like, you know, when it's the tight red zone, you're inside the 10, you're at the 5, is to run it. And Jordan Mason's a hell of a player. McCaffrey scored half his touchdowns from, you know, probably inside the 5 last year. So, I mean, you want to run it first. Then your second option, if it's first down, you'll take the shot on the fade or the jump ball or something like the isolation out there that you're describing. But it's typically not a play that you come back to because it's kind of a 50-50 play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George came down with that one. But if you don't, you're like, okay, it was worth a shot. It's a good shot. But let's find something where we have a little better, higher percentage of a completion.
Baldy here on the River Islands Guest Line. We talk to Brian Baldinger every single Tuesday at 7:30 a.m., breaking down the 49ers in the previous game and looking ahead to their opponent, which is Arizona, of course. And we'll get to them in a second. But you brought up Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason's running great. I want to get your take on Jordan Mason. But Christian McCaffrey came out earlier this week that he has bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So in both legs, he's got some sort of tendonitis here. And I believe that if the 49ers get any production from McCaffrey this year, it will be an absolute bonus. I don't know what he's dealing with here, but it doesn't sound good, Baldy. Should we expect anything from Christian McCaffrey this season on the football field?
Well, you know, the hardest thing for Christian McCaffrey to do is to rest. It just is. You know, I mean, he posts all his workouts on social media. It's great. I mean, but you, after the season he had, we said it last year, 400-plus touches, just go look at the history of anybody that's had Curtis Martin, Sean Alexander, anybody, Deuce McAllister. Look at any guy that had 400 touches, and look what they did the next year. Look at McCaffrey 4 years ago in Carolina when he had 400, what he did. Like, and then you combine that with his off-season training. Like, those poor Achilles are just, I don't know what you can expect right now. But the only, I know this, probably the only chance he has of getting back out there is to do what he hates the most. And that's probably to rest and just let the inflammation, you know, heal and to go away. I don't know how capable he is of doing that because mentally he doesn't feel like he's keeping himself in shape, the training. And it's most of that is psychological for any athlete, not just Christian. But it's hard. But the good thing is Jordan Mason, I mean, outside of, you know, the receiving, you know, ability that McCaffrey gives you, you couldn't ask for any runner to be better than Mason is right now in that role.
I mean, I kind of want to follow up on that. He made a great catch that got called back for a hold on George Kittle. I mean, he just snagged it in the air. He's clearly been working on his hands. Just as a running back in general, I feel like he's a top five guy this year. I know there's a lot of great talents. I mean, Gibbs, the kid up in Montgomery, they're just a hell of a tandem. Obviously, Saquon's having a monster year. Derrick Henry is still one of the all-time greats. I mean, Jordan Mason's on a short list, though. I mean, he's right there. Is this sustainable to run him this way and the style of play that he plays with? Is this a sustainable thing for the full season?
It's a good question, and I don't know. None of us do. He's on pace for 1,800 yards. Like, he might set a 49er record at this pace right now. Right? So you go, okay, he's never had to do this before, ever. He's young, so he's got that going for him. The line is blocking very, very well. The tight ends were excellent last week in combination. But he's not missing any holes, and he punishes players every time he does run into them. Like, he's a top five back. I mean, I don't know how many guys are going to hit 1,800 yards. You know, this Arizona defense isn't very good. There's probably a chance for every time in the three of the four games right now, he's had 20-plus carries. He has had over 100 yards. So he had 19 carries in the game that they lost to Minnesota. And he didn't get 100. But, I mean, he's a 100-yard-a-game guy right now. getting 20. That's a lot. That adds up. You know, you got to figure out a way, especially when you got a lead, to get them the hell out of the game. Like, I would just, if you're up two touchdowns in the fourth quarter in Arizona, get them out. And you just got to, like, we said this last year to McCaffrey, get them out of the game and save them. You need them. Because I'll never forget talking to Nick Bosa a couple years ago about who's the defensive player of the year. And I was like, Max Crosby is. He's like, yeah, that's fine, Baldy. He plays all those plays. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. The 49ers are trying to win a Super Bowl. They've got, you know, three or four postseason games in addition to the 17. So you have to start thinking about that, even in week five, if you've got a lead, to get them out, stop them at 16 carries, get them to the 20th game. That's what's going to be the most important, especially if you're not going to get much from McCaffrey right now.
Well, what do you see from the backup stand, Baldy, in that case? Because I will push back and say, I don't know if Shanahan trusts Isaac Grandel. He's fumbling on kickoff returns, not hitting the holes right. Do you really want to use Deebo Samuel at running back as a backup when he's so deadly in the pass game? And you need him for, you know, these next few weeks here. And you need Deebo, period, because he's such an ultimate playmaker. What can they do with the backup spot? Is Isaac Grandel ready? What have you seen from him so far?
Well, I mean, look, he had a great Rose Bowl last year. Yeah. He's got, you know, I mean, at 220, he ran a 4.39. So, I mean, he's got speed. It looks like he knows how to use it. We haven't seen him pop one to see if he's got real speed or not. He just hasn't had many carries to get any kind of a rhythm. Right. So, you know, there's certain places you got to be at that running back position in this style of offense that you got to get to. But, you know, any coach that has hesitation about fumbling issues is not going to put him out there. You know, you look at these runs by Deebo. I mean, he's taking punishment.
Yes.
it's not. He's built strong. He's built like a running back from the waist down. But they take years off your life at that position. If you start getting to that 6 or 8 carry a game, if you keep it at 3 or 4 carries and a change up here and there, all right, it's fine. Fly sweep here, put him at tailback, fine. He's good. I don't know that you want to get him into that 6 or 8 carry, a game type back right now.
Fred Warner, another play, another Hall of Fame play, to pick 6, 45-yarder. I mean, he bumps a receiver off his route on the drag route. He gets back into his zone, into his drop. He picks it off, the run after the catch. Now he's got an ankle injury. He's day-to-day, and I'm really concerned because I don't know what these other linebackers are doing. But Fred doing another Fred thing. We could talk about Fred all day long. What are you seeing from these other linebackers? Because I'm really concerned about these other linebackers as Dre Greenlaw works himself back. Devondre Campbell, Flanagan Fowles. What have you seen from those guys so far in this defense, Baldy, through 4 games?
Well, I mean, they've been aggressive. They've been aggressive. But, you know, Devondre has always had trouble in coverage. Like, he's not – like, you just – Fred is just so smooth in his drops and the depth that he gets and what he takes away in the passing game. That has not been Devondre's game. I mean, he's made a lot of tackles in this league. Look, there's a significant – you go from Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner to maybe not having both, maybe. I mean, that's significant. First of all, those guys have played 6 years together. They know everything about how they play together and how they play off each other, spilling a run to the other guy. Like they're split in man zone coverage. It's just elite the way that they play together. Look, Fred has one mission in life right now, outside of winning the Super Bowl and being probably Father of the Year, Man of the Year, and all the other awards you could give Fred. All he wants is the ball. Like, that's his thing. He wants the ball. Any way he can get the ball, whether he's punching the ball out, whether he's picking it off, whether he's taking a fumble, like, he wants the ball. And I don't know if a lot of linebackers think like that. A lot of linebackers are pretty content, you know, going to make tackles and pumping their chest up when they do and all that stuff. Fred wants the ball. That's the most important thing to him.
He's such a stud. Oh, so he's out of that game in the second half, and I know they had a nice cushion. So, again, I don't know how to evaluate this, but looking at the defense as a whole, Malik Mustafa played a lot at safety, which it was great to see the rook out there. Obviously, Nick Bosa played with tremendous effort in that second half, recording a strip sack and recovering the ball. I thought Floyd flashed. Malik Collins looked good. Just the defense.
Okuwonu showed up.
Who?
Okuwonu, like, number 91.
Okuwonu.
He came out of nowhere, buddy. We didn't know who he was two weeks ago.
I didn't know either. I didn't know how to pronounce the name for a long time. I've been practicing, though.
Samuel Okuwonu.
I want to make sure I got it right on the show.
Hey, we got it for you, Baldy. We've been butchering it. Here you go, Baldy.
Samuel Okuwonu.
Okuwonu. We just saw him 2 weeks ago. We're like, who's number 91 just having a free rush against Matthew Stafford? We had to look at the practice squad.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there's a couple other guys I was like, you know, that I was kind of studying here, you know, getting ready for this today. Like, I didn't know Evan Anderson, you know, I mean, he punched the ball out. Like, some of these guys, they're getting into their depth, and look, they keep losing guys. I mean, I don't know how, but I mean, that was, they won the game. The defensive front won the game. They really, everybody, Malik played great. You know, I'm always been a big fan of Kevin Givens. He probably played his best game he's played in years. You know, Nick got home. I know everybody else getting sacks. He was pissing Nick off that he wasn't getting one. So he got here's at the end in the fumble. You know, but that was good to see. You know, look, it's a very inexperienced offense line. The left tackle probably isn't a starter. The right guard is a rookie. Caden Wallace comes in as a third tight end. He's a rookie. I mean, they ate up against, you know, a pretty inexperienced group up front.
Arizona, you mentioned them. And I'm not going to claim a team to quit, not at this level, professional level, but Washington just took, I watched the second half, I was like, wow, Washington just did whatever they wanted. Kyler and company looked frustrated. Obviously, they didn't have Trey McBride, but it is an NFC West divisional game, and division games are different. But what's going on with Arizona? Because I was high on them, not to say they were a playoff team, but I thought they were ascending. These last couple of weeks haven't been good for the Cardinals, Baldy.
No, actually, the week before against Detroit, they played them tough.
Played tough, 20-10.
They gave up a hook and lateral. You know, for a touchdown right at the end of the first half. They shut him out completely in the second half. That defense plays really hard. That was disappointing last week because we haven't seen Washington go up and down the field. They couldn't get off the field. And they're really losing players at an alarming rate up front on their defensive line right now. They have always played hard for Jonathan Gannon. Their defense coordinator, Nick Rails, he's 30 years old. He's the youngest in the league. They've always played hard for him. Buda Baker is I call him the Cobra. Like, he shows up everywhere. But they just got worn down last week, and Cliff Kingsbury's doing a great job. That was an unusual performance by that team. They've been highly, much more competitive than that. But I thought Kyler, you know, really missed some throws in that game outside of the touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr., who's got four now in the last three games. You know, he's their go-to guy, so you have to have a plan for Marvin in this game. And they have always run the ball well. Last week they did not do that for the first time. But, you know, Connor is a good back, and Kyler you have to count for. If they think that that's the Arizona Cardinals, that team that Washington slaughtered, that's not really who they are. They play tougher than that, to be honest with you.
All right, Trey McBride should be back. I expect a tougher game, too, at Levi Stadium. Divisional game, Kyler and company. That's a desperate football team. I'm with you on that one, Baldy. Where are you going to be at this weekend as we let you go? Where's Baldy going?
I'm going to go see the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase show. Ooh. See if they can, you know, see if they can slow down the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack right now. Derrick Henry is, you know, they might as well just put him in Canton right now the way he's going.
And Baltimore looks good. They've outrushed each opponent this year by at least 100 yards in every single game. That's an NFL record. And Lamar's throwing well from the pocket, Baldy. He's looked like he's coming alive here.
They're a dangerous team. You know, they're the only thing that was a little bit odd the first couple weeks of the season is the field goal kicker has been the best in the business, and he's missed some to the left. I don't know what's happened to his stroke, but other than that, you know, Baltimore is just a well-coached team, and they're a well-run organization. And after starting 0-2, they figure some things out. Now they're rocking and rolling.
No doubt about that. Baldy, we'll talk to you next week when the Niners take on Arizona. Baldy, you're the best, man. Thanks again.
Yep. Takes care. See you, Joe. See you, Bonte.
All right, Baldy. Baldy here on the River Islands guest line here as we talk a little football. Niners handle business, get the Patriots. We expect that. A lot of good there. Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, they're doing well, but we got to get to Farhan Zaidi. We got to get back to Farhan Zaidi as he was let go yesterday by the San Francisco Giants at about 10:01. It was a couple minutes after we got off the air.
Yeah, they did it out of spite.
Yeah, I feel like, boy, remember we did 10-2 and the IU report came? Oh, man. Breaking news. Steiny Guru with a layup yesterday at Media Day. Can you believe that? Anyway, we're going to get into it. Farhan Zaidi, what went wrong? Are you happy, Giants fans? How excited are you about Buster Posey being the president of baseball operations plus Rich Arroyo at 8:30?
Was there anything he did right? No, I want to hear.
There's a couple.
Yeah, I would like to go over some of that, too. Like, I know we want to look over all the negatives, and there's plenty of them. Trust me, I aired the grievances earlier. But was there anything you did right? And what did we learn? What did we learn throughout the process? You know, I'm thinking about it. Like, first season, you don't trade Mad Bum, and you say goodbye to Bruce Bochy, and you say hello to Gabe Kapler?
Well, the Mad Bum thing, I kind of get. I think they missed the boat on that, and I think that goes back to Bobby Evans.
Okay.
Also, we got to get into Pete Rose passing away. I have some thoughts on that.
I've got a picture I'll share with the group.
You know, I felt a little different about Pete Rose after watching that documentary. Oh. May he rest in peace. But I felt a little different about Pete.
Well, the person?
The person.
Yeah. Well, that's
big time. The baseball player is undeniable. He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's a hell of a player.
Well, as a baseball fan, the player. The guy literally played almost every single position and is one of the great baseball minds of all time. As a human being, as a person away from the diamond.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
He's as, you know, scummy as they come.
Not a big fan. A big fan at all. So we'll get to that. Dikembe Mutombo passed away. We'll touch on Media Day. Draymond had a very interesting interaction with Scott Osler from the San Francisco Chronicle. We could get into that as well as what Steph said. We got a lot going on. We got two more hours to go, but we're going to leave with Farhan Zaidi. 888-957-9570. Folks, line them up. Line them up. How you feeling now about the San Francisco Giants? Feels like Christmas. Feels like Christmas to me. Oh, but before we break, we have the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Kyle Shanahan provided a few key injury updates on his morning conference call, Monday conference call, I should say. Perhaps the best news he shared was that Fred Warner's ankle injury is not that serious. Shanahan said that Fred avoided a high ankle sprain and is considered day to day. Hallelujah. Shanahan is confident that Warner will be able to heal up this week ahead of Sunday's contest against the Arizona Cardinals. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Girls of Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Giants fans, Buster Posey, you in or out on that? What went wrong for Farhan? What went right for Farhan? Let's have the conversation before we bring Rich Arroyo on at 8:30 here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Are we alive back